a number of different visions of the church. Some of these are very common, and we've all seen being referred to as we're members of the body of Christ, and I've listed some places where that is Romans 12:5, 1 Corinthians 12:27, Hebrews 13:3, and a ton more. That's everywhere. People and children of God is also throughout the New Testament, Romans 9:25-26, 1 Peter 2:9-10. And then there's some which are more rare. We're called the salt of the earth in Matthew 5:13. That's sort of a fun one to look at. Or an olive tree, which is a great one, which we covered in the Wednesday Bible classes a few months ago when we were going through Romans. But the one I want to look at today is where we're called letters of Christ, which is 2 Corinthians 3:1-3. So if you want to turn there, almost everything we're reading today will be out of 2 Corinthians. But here's the phrase itself. Surely we do not need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you, do we? You yourselves are our letter, written on your hearts, to be known and read by all. And you show us that you are a letter of Christ, prepared by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. So what does that mean? The first thing, which is the easiest thing to get, is the practical meaning. Paul, as he does in many of his letters, starts out by establishing his authority as an apostle of Christ, and also the authority of the people who are delivering his letter and speaking to the congregation on his behalf. And this is a good example of that. He's not saying, I have authority because I know Jesus or because I was touched, which is what he says in other places, but instead he's saying, look, you yourselves are the proof of my authority. I came here, I founded your congregation. All the good works that you have done are in some ways reflections of me. And similarly, Paul doesn't need proof of their authority or their belief in the Spirit, because he's been there. He knows them, right? So that's the practical meaning of the passage. But there's more. There's more if you want to look, because you can see that we as a church and as individual Christians can think of ourselves like the people of Corinth, as letters of Christ. We're letters from Paul. We're letters from God. We're letters from ourselves. And I think there's a lot of meaning in there. And it falls on us as Christians to look at what Paul is saying and determine what does it mean to be a letter of Christ and how can I better be a letter of Christ. You can see just by looking at the very next verse that Paul thinks this is very important. And I don't have this in my notes where I should. But he says something to the effect of, we are letters of Christ, and we can be because of our great confidence in God. Like, it's something very positive. So I think it's something that's definitely worth looking at. So let's start at the beginning. What is a letter? So this is the dictionary definition of a letter. A personal or a direct or personal written message addressed to a person or organization. So if we break that down a little bit, Paul gives us a lot of the answers to how we fit into this definition. He tells us that we are a personal message written with the Spirit of the living God onto our hearts. So we know we're a personal message. We're a message directly to something. We also know that we are a message of God. And we'll look at those things a little bit more. But who are we written to? Well, he says we're an open letter to be known and read by all. That's obviously very inclusive. That means we're a letter to non-Christians. We're a letter to everyone you meet on the street. Right? When you walk by somebody and they look at you, they should be able to read you and know that you are a Christian, not by what you wear, but by if they take the time to meet you and talk to you, they should know that you are of Christ. We're also a letter to other Christians, both ones inside this congregation and outside. I think we're all used to interacting with each other as Christians, but we don't often get the opportunity to interact with other Christians. We don't really interact with other churches. Maybe we should. And when we do, we need to remember that we are a letter to them and they are a letter to us. And then our families. I know I don't have children, so we haven't had to talk about this, but when you're interacting with your children, you should be thinking of yourself as a letter, an example for them to constantly read. You're an open letter. They can look at you every time. Every moment they see you, they should see Christ reflected in you and his attitudes. So what is our message? What does Paul want us to have in this letter? What did God write on our hearts? Well, he wrote a lot about this, and that's sort of, we're going to travel through 2 Corinthians and see what he has to say. The first thing he says is that we are not a message about the old law, as he says in I just wrote all of these that are like 3:3. Those are all 2 Corinthians. I just left it off because it was a lot of space. But we are written not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. So that's a direct reference to Moses and the Ten Commandments. Paul is not saying that the Ten Commandments are wrong or that we shouldn't follow them. What he's saying is they're not our message. They're not what makes the core of us. Similarly, later he says, God, who has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of letter, but of spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. 2 Corinthians 3:6. So in this case, the word letter is not the letter that we are, but it's the letter of the old law. That's what he's referring to. So the letter of the old law is not what our message should be. So what is it? The first positive things he says is that our message is from God. Not that we are competent of ourselves to claim anything is coming from us. Our competence is from God. So that's very powerful if you think about it, right? The letter which you are responsible for living, you are not responsible for writing. God has already written down what the good things are, what you should be, how you should lead your life. You are responsible for making sure that you live that letter and can present that letter to other people. More meanings. Our message is glorious. Now, if the ministry of death, chiseled in letters on stone tablets, came in glory so that the people of Israel could not gaze at Moses' face because of the glory of his face, a glory now set aside, how much more will the ministry of the Spirit come in glory? 2 Corinthians 3:7-8. So these are all things we know. We know that our message is glorious. We know that we have a great heaven waiting for us. We know that we have someone who sacrificed unthinkably much to free us from our sins. But how many of us exude that positiveness, exude that glory in our day-to-day lives? A lot of us do. A lot of us do on our own. And some people maybe consciously think about that. I don't know. I haven't had discussions with people about that. But if you aren't, maybe you should think about it. It's also a message of hope. Since then, we have such a hope, Paul says, in direct reference to this message. It's a message of freedom. Now, the Lord is of the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. It's a message of mercy. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in the ministry, we do not lose heart. And it's a message of honesty. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word. But by the open statement of truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. Our message is a powerful treasure. It's very similar to the idea of glory and of the great glory which all of the Jews knew was in the old law, and all of we know lies in the new law and the new way of life through Jesus. But we have this treasure in clay jars so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. It's also just a good reminder that the message is powerful. If you can live the Christian life and everyone else can read that in you, you will change people. It's that simple. The message in and of itself has the power to do that. And if you try to make it part of your life, you will change other people. I think a great example of that is Brooke. You know, obviously, I was converted less than a year ago. And Brooke does a great job of leading the Christian life, and I met her, and I was very impressed by a lot of things, her intellect, her, you know, just everything, her activities, everything she does. But one of the things that I was very impressed with was her faith. And I was able to put a lot of confidence in that faith as I came to know her and trust her. And, you know, eventually I was like, if she believes this, there really must be something to it. And the more I looked, the more I saw, and the more I know. And, you know, things went on from there. But she didn't sit down and preach to me. She just lived a good life and a good life of faith. And I think that's something, that's a great example. Something else that Paul says is another good reminder. Our message won't reach everyone, but we should never lose heart. So we do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away. Our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. And similarly, I didn't put it down on the slide, but also in 2 Corinthians, and even if our gospel is veiled to those who are perishing, In their case, the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And that's right before this verse. I should have included it. But even though we won't reach everyone, not everyone is ready to know God. Not everyone will find him. That's not something that needs to drive us to despair. The people we can reach, the glory that we can give, is worth pursuing. So what do we do? Well, Paul says, therefore we try to persuade others. That's part of what being a letter is, living that life so that you can change other people. He says, for the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. So that's another thing you need to do as a letter. You need to communicate that you are not living for yourself anymore, and that you're living for something much, much greater. Paul calls us ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us, 2 Corinthians 5:20. Just another example of how you are always representing. You are a letter that people can read. You are an ambassador who is meeting people. And whether you're meeting other Christians or non-Christians or your family members, you are always on display, and you always need to have this message. So what is the message? I think most of us will find most of what I've been saying very familiar. All of us will find it very familiar, right? It's a message of salvation. It's a message of one man and one God arranging to take away the sins of the world. It's a message of goodness, of living a good life, of all of those virtues that we talked through earlier, of honesty, mercy, you know, all of those things. It's a message of great goodness. It's a message of love. It's a message of caring more for your neighbor than for yourself, of treating your family wonderfully, and then treating the rest of the world as if they were your family. And it's a message of Christ, and acknowledging what he gave, and what we should give, and how we should live as a reflection of that. So what should I do? We sort of covered that a little bit. I think all of those things which we've talked about are great places to start. One thing you might want to do is just sit down in your next quiet moment, you know, sometime this evening, sometime later this week, maybe when you're lying in bed, and just ask yourself some of these questions. Am I a letter for Christ? Am I being a good ambassador? Am I doing a good job of serving as this ambassador and inspiring hope, freedom, honesty, mercy, faith, love, all of these things in everyone I meet? Right? Maybe I do a good job of that at church. Do I do a good job of that at home? Maybe I do a good job of that in both places. Do I do a good job of that at my work? All of those things are things you can think about. What about the Christians around me? Am I a good letter for them? Am I living in a way which I hope that my brethren emulate? Oh, and that's what I had to say. It's a short message, but it's a good message. I think that all of us can be better letters. I certainly know that I can. As a new Christian, my goal is mostly to learn more, because I know that what I know is drastically less than what it should be. So I'm hoping that as I learn and ask questions and learn from many of you around me, you will also learn as you look more at things which you maybe take for granted or maybe just have already incorporated into your life and don't even have to think about it anymore. But everyone can be a better letter. So I hope that everyone strives for that. If you are in the audience today and not a Christian, and you're interested in learning more about the message of Christ and his resurrection, I encourage you to stay and talk to our elders, talk to a deacon. You can even talk to me if you're brave and don't. But we would all be overjoyed to share our letters with you. And if you've already internalized that message and are longing to join us in Christ, please talk to us so we can help you with that step. Thanks. Please stand.